Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow no matter what. This is episode number 42, and this is your host, Greg Carter. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about rural values no matter where you are. But before we do that, let's get some chores done, shall we? I'd like to remind everybody of the Listener Appreciation Contest. If you enjoy this podcast, sign up for the appreciation event. All you got to do is go to the blog. There'll be a link to the listener appreciation thing. You just put your name in there, email address, and promise that you'll share the show in some way. That'll help us grow, and it'll put you in the contest. Once we reach 1,000 subscribers on our FeedBurner stats, we will be giving away a $50 Amazon gift card, and I'm working on a bunch of other prizes that we'll start giving out, you know, sporadically after that. Okay, next thing is I'd like to remind everybody about the Rural Roundtable. We have experts in fields from everything from preparedness to off-grid living that are looking forward to answering your questions, and I answer them too. Okay. All you got to do is send your questions to theruraleconomist@gmail.com. The Rural Economist is actually the name of my blog. And once you send in your questions, I'll forward it to the appropriate expert. They will record an answer, get it back to me, and it will be in an upcoming episode. So, with that, we're going to talk about rural values no matter where you are. Now, it's kind of interesting, I've found it interesting, that I've had some people say, I really like your content, but I don't understand the name of your program. Because what you talk about can be applied anywhere, and that's true. What I talk about is not pegged to the rural environment, but it's grounded in it. And I've actually had some people get mad at me saying that I didn't like city folks. Well, okay. I'm glad that cities exist. I really am. Cities are good for certain things. I don't want to be real close to one, but I'm glad they exist. I like knowing where they are. They're not my cup of tea, even though I've been in some of the biggest, I've been in the biggest cities in the United States at one point or another. I actually lived for a period of time in Indianapolis in Indiana. And when I was driving a truck for a living, I was in New York quite a bit. I've been in LA, I've been in Denver, Vegas, Atlantic City, Atlanta, Orlando. You know, I've kind of run the gamut. So, I understand big cities, and I know that they have their place, but they're just not for me. So let's talk about the rural values that I try to emulate and to get people to embrace, even if you live in the middle of a big city. Okay? Now, I know that some of these values, there's going to be some folks in all these big cities, lots of folks in all these big cities that are going to have some, and in some cases all of these traits. But when you look at it, they're actually based in a rural mindset, and I'm going to explain why they are. Now, the first thing is hard work, a work ethic. Now, there's a lot of people that go to their job every single day and they slave away and they work hard and they do everything, and it doesn't matter if they're running a bulldozer or if they're a marketing guru. Okay? They put their time in and they're diligent and they do the best job they can every single day. But I want you to understand that the basis of the work ethic came from the family farm. Because when you have to feed yourself, when you're not reliant on the grocery store, when if you don't feel well for 2 weeks, your livestock go hungry and die, then the work ethic becomes a lot more important. the sheer determination of getting up, getting out there in your garden, in the field, dealing with your livestock, harvesting products, preserving the harvest, everything like that. You cannot, in a lot of cases, put that off till tomorrow. So the work ethic is grounded in people who were producing for themselves. It's grounded in that pioneer spirit, in that homestead, in that rural mindset. So that's something, and I've seen, and it bugs me, that there's a lot of people that they go in to work, they put in their 40 hours, they come home, and then they lie piled up on the couch, watching the TV, not doing anything. They hire some kid to mow their yard because they're too tired or too lazy to get off their duff and get outside and do something. Now, I'm not saying that there are not situations and circumstances where they're just not able. Okay? I understand that there's folks that can't do that. But the thing about it is do something. You know, you can put in systems, food-bearing systems, that don't require a heck of a lot of work. You can put in fruit trees and berry bushes and all like this, and even if you aren't physically able to do the harvesting when it comes in, once these systems are established, there's really not a heck of a lot to them except just to do it. So, I don't get it, you know? I don't get I can't do anything. I just, no. Okay? All right. The second thing that I want to cover is thrift. And once again, this is pervasive. You know, we've gotten into a throwaway world, and there's actually going to be a full podcast in the near future that's going to be talking about that. But when I was growing up, and I've told this story maybe a couple of times, we're at episode 42, so some of my stories are going to be repeated, and I just can't help it. So, but we reused everything that we could when I was a kid. You didn't throw away a glass jar. It didn't matter if it was a jelly jar that you bought at the store, or somebody had a baby and they had some baby food, or a mayonnaise jar. You didn't throw away a jar. Especially if a cannon ring would fit on that thing. You did not throw away a jar. Oh, and Lord have mercy, if you ever got a gallon jar with the lid to it, you definitely didn't throw it away. But we've gotten to the point now to where, that sock's got a hole in it, we're gonna throw it away. Oh, I don't like this TV anymore, I'm just gonna throw it away. Oh, well, you know, I have seen people that would trade off a car. I've seen people, even rural people, take a car that was completely running, that they couldn't sell, that they just gave it away, threw it away. Now, if you're wanting to give something away, that's one thing. But if you're just tossing it away, I've seen cars go to the junkyard that they drove to the junkyard and left it there and got paid scrap metal prices for it. That's crazy, especially right now, because scrap metal's down horribly. Okay? We've got to realize that this throwaway world is destroying our future. I mean, it really is. Because when I was a kid, I don't think I've ever, maybe I have. When I was a kid, we lived about, I don't know, a mile and a half, 2 miles from the closest little store. And the next store after that was like 11 miles. So that was the only store in the community, okay? Well, I could get out on the back road like I am now, but I'd be walking when I was a kid, and I could walk from my house to the store, and I could pick up enough deposit bottles in order to buy me a soft drink and a candy bar. All right. Now, I would drink my soda water on the way home, eat my candy bar, and then I had a place under the carport where I put my bottle. And then when I went to the store the next time, I'd take the bottle that I bought last time, and I'd pick up bottles all along the way. Now, that was utilizing a resource. That created an idea of thrift within me. If I wanted something, then I had to come up with a way to procure the means to get it. Now, my dad will tell you straight out, if we were to talk, that when I was a kid, there didn't nobody have any more money than I did. And I just used a double negative, and I just realized it, but that's okay. Okay? Nobody had more money than I did. In fact, there were a few times I loaned my parents money when I was a kid, because I understood that, you know, this is a valuable resource. And I remember when they came out with throwaway bottles, disposable glass bottles. And when I first got one, I remember asking whatever adult I was with at the time, and I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was my pawpaw, what I was supposed to do with this bottle. And he said, throw it away. And I said, you mean we don't take it back to the store? No, you just throw it away. Well, the disposable glass bottles didn't last very long, and then we went to plastic. Okay? But we've progressively gotten worse to the point, we are to the point now to where television sets, computers, stereos, pretty much everything, as soon as it don't work, you throw it away. I remember spending hours at the radio and TV repair shop. I remember going in there and looking at used televisions that we were thinking about buying because somebody brought it in, had it repaired, and then they didn't come back and pick it up for the cost of the repairs. There, I don't even know where there's a TV repair shop that's in existence anymore. So thrift is next. Okay? Number three, community. The suburban world is actually the worst. You can live in a house on a street with 10 other houses, and you might know two of them by name, know their kids, all of that. And see, here's the thing. I've lived in a suburban environment. Right now, I would call what I live in semi-rural. But when I lived in a suburban environment, not only did I not know my neighbors, I didn't want to know my neighbors. I could tell by looking at them that I didn't want to know them. They wore the wrong football team colors, or they, you know, had the wrong political party sign in their yard, or whatever. And we create isolation in the middle of mass population. In a rural community, you know everybody. In fact, when I go back to the community in which I was raised, you wave at everybody going down the road. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, down here in the South, and I've actually seen it in rural communities spread all across the country, as you're driving, when somebody meets you, you throw up two fingers. That's hi, how are you? Okay? They throw up two fingers in response, I'm fine, how are you? And you waved like that to everybody. And I do mean everybody. Because if your aunt got a new car and you didn't recognize the car and she threw up two fingers and you didn't because you didn't recognize the car, then the next time you see her, she's going to go, well, I waved at you the other day. Why didn't you wave back? And another thing, we have all of this problem with all of our kids and everything, and, you know, we've got behavior problems and all of this garbage. But when we were growing up, when I was growing up, if you did something out of the way, your mom and daddy knew about it before you got home. The network was amazing, and there was no such thing as the internet. And everybody in the community knew the little Carter boy. And they knew that if I was walking down the road with my .410 shotgun across my shoulder, that I was going squirrel hunting. And that nobody panicked. Because they knew that I was responsible. They knew how I was raised. In fact, I remember going squirrel hunting with my little single shot break action .410 shotgun strapped across my shoulder, my game bag vest on with, I don't know, probably a box of 25 shells in my pockets. Miss Pearl, an old lady that lived up across the road, saying, hey, there's some crows out in my garden. If you could sneak around and kill a couple of them, that'd be great. And I did. Made me happy to be able to help Miss Pearl. So, community is important. And the thing about building community, no matter where you are, I don't care if you're in the subdivision, I don't care if you're in an apartment high-rise, I don't care where you are, when somebody knows you, they're going to look out for you. Where we are right now, across the street from us, there's a house. And there for a long time, the folks that owned that house only came up about once a month. Some of their relatives lived a little farther down the way and everything. But whenever I stepped out my front door, if there was a vehicle over there that I didn't recognize, I called their relatives. And you know what? They'd do the same thing for me. We look out for each other. Next thing, that's four. All right. And the next thing is generosity. And I'm not talking about money. Money can help, money can work, money can do all these things, but I'm talking about real generosity. When I grow a bumper crop of zucchini, and zucchini's really easy to do it with, I'm gonna give away some of my zucchini and I'm gonna make sure that it goes to my neighbors first. But here's the thing, they do the same thing. If they've got corn and they've got corn running out their ears, they've already put up all they can, don't have no more room for nothing, I may come home and there'll be a big sack of corn on my doorstep. Somebody's out there working in the yard, stop, help them. You know, they're working, they'll stop and help you. Again, when I was growing up, cousin, ice storm, had a tree go down in their yard. Well, they called my grandfather and said, "Do you know anybody that come cut this tree up out of my yard?" He goes, "Yeah, I know somebody." And he called me. He said, "Can you get down there and cut this tree up for them?" It was right in front of their doorway. Didn't hit their house, but, you know, it was right in front of the doorway. Yeah, I'm on my way right now. So I got my chainsaw and my axe and all of my stuff, gas and all that stuff, and I headed out to this cousin's house, which is about, 3 miles away, I guess. And I'm out there working, and I'm staying pretty diligent at it. Well, an old man from down the way, and at the time, I'm going to say he was nearly 70. He saw me out there working. He pulled over his truck. "Hey there now. Cutting up this here tree. I saw it fall. Need any help?" And that's the way he talked. And I'm not exaggerating. I said, "Well, I mean, it'd be nice if you want to help, but you don't have to." He went to his truck and got out his gloves, and he spent about 30 minutes out there with me and told me a whole bunch of stories. Don't know how many of them's true and how many of them's false, but it doesn't matter. And we had a good time, and he helped me out, and we were able to clean up that tree and made sure that everything was real nice, and they were able to get in and out of their house. Generosity will go a big way. And then the final one's probably going to get me in a little bit of trouble with some folks. It's faith. Now, I make no bones about it. I'm not bashful about it at all. I'm a Christian. I teach a Wednesday night children's class. I'm pretty active. But here's the thing. I don't care, as far as this goes, if you're not a Christian. Everybody has faith in something. Now, I know that there's some atheists out there, "I don't have faith in nothing." Yeah, you do. It's just all on yourself. Or all on the government. Or science. Or whatever. Science has gotten to the point now where it's just as much a religion as Christianity, Judaism, or Muslims. It's just they don't have an altar. But when you have faith, then you're able to get through some things a lot easier than somebody who claims they don't have faith. Now, you know, there's all different deviations of beliefs, and I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody over which one's right. I know which one I believe, and I believe the way that I do for a specific reason, because I've thought it through, I've studied it, I've researched it, and I believe it's right. And if you believe something, then I hope that you did the same thing. But you, even if your faith is in family, if you don't have faith in anything, you're a miserable person. Because faith is what drives us. Without faith in some type of system, nobody would plant a single seed. It's faith that seed will come up. It's faith that it will produce a harvest. It may be faith based on experience, but it's still faith. Let me see how long this has been running. I don't even know. Well, we're at 25 minutes. I hope you enjoyed this. I want you to know that you can incorporate the old-timey rural values into your life no matter where you are. Hard work, community, thrift, honesty. Oh, Lord, I forgot honesty. Honesty should speak for itself. Faith. When you combine all of these values, it's going to make your life better, no matter what. It's going to make times more bearable. If everything goes to pot, and it's going to make your life fuller if everything is roses. If you enjoyed this, please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. It'd help us a lot. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you like it, share it. If you don't, it's all right. Step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye-bye.